I always wondered when I find a picture like this that there's been plenty of times when you receive so many phone calls that when the phone rings, you know, everybody gets used to, aren't you going to get that? And I'm getting used to saying, no, it'll come later. And I'm afraid probably what we're doing sometimes as followers is that we forget what the voice of God sounds like and actually that He is calling. And there is a call that's happening. So, but first, before I dive into this, is take time to. You know, I was going to switch the lesson to when Jesus was sleeping on the cushion in front of the boat, and the storm was going on, and all that. But I thought, well, I'll just stick with what I have. Hopefully, we're getting this recorded. Those who missed this can hopefully get online later, and kind of follow up with a series that we've been doing. And trying to build on that. So, but first of all, I know that worship is a lifestyle. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that one, but I usually just say you can disagree with me all you want, but let me show you some passages that proves that it's offering your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. It is your spiritual act of worship or spiritual act of service. Worship is because any praise to God, any honor to God, any respect and reverence to God, because He is worthy. And it's not to be just one day a week for an hour. It is called to that in decisions that we make and actions that we take and in the transformation process of becoming more like Jesus. So in order to worship the Lord that way. But we can praise God at any time. And since this is kind of a praise together, I at least want to mention, even though it's a smaller crowd, today we praise God for Sister Theresa, because I at least saw in the bulletin that her birthday is today. And so we need to have a little girl. Do you want to come up and let us sing to you? But be thanking God for her. And I think some other ones. Jerry, you got a birthday this week, and we thank God for your life. And I think there was one more. Do you remember? Oh, okay, all right. And that's later on this week. Oh, really? Okay. Well, we praise God for all the lives that are celebrating a birth, because birth means a lot to us, or we wouldn't exist. And it really just is what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to a birth. Jesus came down to lead us to a new birth, a new beginning, a new creation. And that happens when you decide to commit your life to God. But before we commit our life to God, before we commit our lives to following Jesus, we need to make sure that God is calling us and what He's calling us to become. We started this series out explaining that if we go back to the book of Genesis and see how God created the heavens and the earth, we know how powerful He is if we can concentrate on heavens and the earth, and the whole heavens being the whole universe. And you just are amazed by the information you find out that is factual about how big God is and how powerful He is. So He can take anyone who has turned away from Him, if they decide to turn towards Him, He can take any problem, any sin, and reverse it in their life, and He is powerful enough to draw us back to the image that He's created us in. Because He said, I'm going to create mankind in my own image. And then the first two human beings decided, because they had free will. God gives us free will because He wants you to love Him back freely and willfully. But when we start to serve ourselves and we get our eyes off God and we don't hear His calling, we sin and we become sinful creatures. And then it's a battle for the lifetime. Because Satan just comes along and he keeps nicking at those areas that we like to serve ourselves in. And so, but we got to hear the call. God is calling us. So here's your fill in the blanks. What hinders us from hearing God's call? I put down three. There's plenty of other ones, but first of all, the simplest part, the battle part, the what I would call the war that's going on inside of our hearts and in our minds, because God has called us to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's the greatest command. We find that in Matthew chapter 22 when Jesus is talking and teaching. We find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. God wants us to love Him with every part of who we are. Our actions, our decision, our inner being. And so, hinders us from hearing God's call to live for Him? Well, number one simply, but very powerful, it's for Satan. It's the sin problem. It's serving self problem. That's will hinder you and I from hearing God's voice. Because what you're hearing inside yourself is this battle with selfishness, because there's a part of you that enjoys serving self, and if God has called us not to serve Him in that way, we have a battle going on, and Satan comes along and tempts us to serve ourself. Why? Because he doesn't want God Almighty to be your God. You got to remember why Satan... Once, Lucifer was an angel serving God. And then you find out that when he decided that he didn't want to serve God anymore, that's why God had to cast him out of his presence. Because if you don't want to serve God, then we don't love him with all of who we are. So before we get to the commitment part, we got to hear the call part. And we got to know what hinders us from hearing that. It's a sin problem. The second thing, what hinders us, is we've got to find out what sin is, what it does, and that it separates us. It separates us from God. Sin is a problem, and what it does is a problem. And we got to hurt over what it does. If it separates us from God, but we want to be near God, it should hurt us to do things and make decisions in areas, which we will, that we catch ourselves serving ourselves, and then we are very sorrowful for it. That's why David, that's why we spent so much time in Psalm 51, is we had to see the heart of the problem, because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And so we're able to hear that. And that's your third part. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The condition of your heart. If your condition is a hard heart, we've got a problem. It will hinder you from hearing God's call. Even a rocky soil heart. The only soil that God can produce His Spirit to transform us back to His image in is a very servant, sorrowful for sin, humbled, what I would call pure in heart, poor in spirit type of heart. Because he says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. So that's what we have to find out. Do we have? What is the condition of our heart? Because the condition of our heart can hinder us from hearing God's call. So, but what's going to hinder us from our commitment to Christ? Let's just say we hear the call. Let's just say everybody here has heard these lessons, and we got a decision to make. We got to answer the call. Now, see, God can be just calling, and we don't pick up the phone and answer. We don't talk to Him. He doesn't talk to us because we don't answer the call. But if we're going to answer the call, we're going to dive in, and we're going to hear His voice in Scripture. We're going to see Jesus and hear Him teaching. We're going to see Him model the life of the purest image that is created by God in a human being. And what a greater model to follow there is none. back to the image that God created us in. So what helps us? Today we're going to talk about what hinders and what helps us in our commitment to God. Now, I know David and Jean's not here. I guess I didn't expect that they would be. Today is their anniversary. It's been a year since David and Jean's anniversary, and we saw a mystery that Paul says where two becomes one on that day for them last year. And believe it or not, there is going to be one I'm participating in this evening. And lo and behold, here's the faithfulness. It's outdoors. It will be underneath a shelter, but it is outdoors. So I try to make light of everybody's just so up in air, and you know everybody wants a peaceful day and calm, and the birds are flying around and it's sunny and cool. You know, everybody wants that. And I tried to tell the couple, I said, man, if this is the worst thing you have to go through in your marriage, you're doing good. But they're going to get married tonight, I think around 5:30. Lionel's helping me out with it, but he's doing the music. So be praying for us. Yeah, I think they changed it to 5:30. 5 or 5:30. Be there by 5 if you're going, because in case we just didn't hear right. But we expect in a marriage, you know, we see in the ceremony, we see the vows, right? Vows are words of commitment. Now, how many of us go to a wedding ceremony expecting in our heart that the couples that are saying the vows to each other just won't keep them? Now, what we mean by that, or at least what I mean by it, is that are they going to struggle with it, and will they make some decisions where they'll not keep it at times? Yes. But when we go to a wedding and we see two people giving vows to each other, a husband and a wife-to-be, we expect that they actually mean what they say and that they will keep their vow. Now, God says that if you're going to make a vow, make a commitment. Make one that you will follow through with. Because it's better to not make a commitment and not follow through than it is to make one and not intend to keep it. Does that make sense? He's just saying that he don't want lukewarmness. He don't want you to make a commitment. So when Kevin looks at it to say, well, but when do I make a vow to Jesus? Now, you got to remember, Scripture teaches the church as being what to Jesus? As the bride, right? And he washes her to the point that she looks white as snow. Paul even describes in Scripture the husband treats their wives and keep them as dazzling white silk, you know. Keep them without blemish. What's that? When he didn't have one, yeah. So I guess I use that point where Paul is like, I said, hey, it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. You know, don't listen to Paul, just listen to what he has to say. Yeah, just because he doesn't have the experience in it. But we expect people to keep a vow. Now, here's a definition of commitment. This is what to write down. Write down in your fill in the blank. Commitment is the quality of being dedicated to a cause. The quality of being dedicated to a cause, or to a cause, not, yeah, a pledge. Synonyms for it is devotion, loyalty, a vow, faithfulness. That's synonyms to commitment. Okay, so now we've got to get it to the point to where we understand that this call of God to get us back to his image happens when we hear the call to commit to his son. He sent his son to take care of the sin problem, but he also sent his son to model the life that is his image in the flesh. Sounds simple, but we got a self problem that Jesus never gave in to, but he modeled it. Was he tempted? Absolutely. In every way you and I has ever been tempted. He just never gave in to himself. He never had an evil desire to give in to. So he came down to take care of the part of us that is of an evil desire to serve ourselves. He came down to take care of that. He came down to die for that. And see how the symbolization starts forming? You come to Jesus, you follow him to a death of yourself. You follow him to a burial and a washing, white as snow, forgiveness. You follow him out of the grave to the point to where you're going to live a new life that is not committed to serve self, but committed to serve him. Okay? That's why we need each other as a church. That's why we got to get out of systematic church and get back to a Savior church. Because systematic church will just keep us separated and we'll never build relationships. You know why a lot of people won't go to church, which you can't go to church, like some people say. It's a common terminology we hear every day. We can go to a building, that's something we can do, but you can't go to church because the church is you. The problem with trying to invite people to be around us is that they'll say, yeah, but if I want lack of love, I'll just stay home. Because if they come and see the lack of love in us, it's not really different than what they have at home or in the workplace. So God is calling us back. So let's move forward. What hinders our commitment to Jesus? Go to John chapter 12 in your Bible. John chapter 12, I'm going to start reading verse 37. And when I finish, I guess I'll finish. So let's just hear what Jesus is having to say here, what's happening. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah elsewhere said elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts. They can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their ears, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for the fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise from God. Here's our first hindrance to our commitment to Jesus. I'm in more fear of the praise of man than I want the praise of God. I don't want anybody to look down upon me. I don't want humans to talk bad about me. I'm finding out the more we become more like Jesus, there's going to be people that won't understand it. Somebody's going to get the love part of Jesus in us, and others are going to hate it. And we don't stop loving because somebody hates us. Okay, so what hinders me to keep my commitment is when I don't really truly love somebody. Because I would rather have a praise of people feeling good around me. Now, I'm talking about a level of relationship. You say, Kevin, wait a minute. Being around and I'm talking about a level of relationship where we get so close to each other, we actually know we're brothers and sisters, and we can share struggles with each other. That's the kind of, you know, there's a lot of people following Jesus that will never get that close to each other. They'll find it kind of, because I want people to pat me on the back or people accept me as I am. We're all fearful that all of us are going to judge each other. The sad part is that will there be some? Yes, they need to draw closer to God. They need to be committed to Jesus. Jesus even says in a verse down here, if you go down through verse 44, start in verse 47. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words, the very words I have spoken, and will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that is his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Now, if God is telling Jesus to say, look, I did not come to judge the world. I came to save the world. There is one on the last day that will handle the judgment. And so if we got close to each other and people started sharing their struggles and praying for, if we don't handle it correctly, then we've got to grow correctly. Because we're not here to judge one another. God will judge. We're here to help each other in our commitment to Jesus. That's what we're here for. I'm not here to condemn everybody out there. All those people we mentioned and their sins, people who envy and have jealousy and greed, people who have sexual impurities, people who practice homosexuality, I'm not here to judge them. They have one that will. I'm here to hope that they would want to be saved from it. Because they got to make a decision. Do they hear the call of God too, to live for him? And if I present God as some nasty, unloving God, I don't have a chance to convince somebody. But there is the wrath of God. I know the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is because of sin. And I have participated and continue to struggle. But we continue to grow. So it's more important to receive praise from people than from God. Number two, distracted and not paying attention to God's call. I don't know about you, but our world is becoming a world of distraction. We get incredibly distracted. We don't pay attention to what God's will is. God's will is that every man would come to repentance and turn to him, so that he can save them. That's what his will is. That's why he sent Jesus. Take care of it. If that is not our will to match up with his will, we're going to have to check who are we serving as a church. Really, we do. Because if I'm not paying attention to God's will, we're going to drift away. That's what Hebrews 2:1 says. We need to start paying attention to the message. You know, this is one of the struggles that I have as a preacher, and a lot of preachers I talk to struggle. They wonder, they put an effort, they put a passion in, they love people, But sometimes we don't want to preach the hard stuff because we want people to love us. You know, I want you to love me. I don't want somebody to be angry at me because I teach something that's true that Jesus taught, but it's a very big challenge. Because I tell you, people in Scripture, they were challenged by Jesus. And I mean, he did it in a loving way. He did it in a straightforward way. He did it in a personal way. But it's not to harm them. It was to help them. But if we don't listen to the messages of Jesus and we just go through life, we're going to drift away from the call. See, I think that drifting away is getting back to just sin. I'm going to drift away. What if we just don't answer Jesus' call as the mandate for the church? The church is to be a body. The church is to be a unit, developing relationships, getting close to one another so that we can go out and do his will together. What if we just ignore that? We'll drift away from the mission that our church is meant for by God. Jesus even says, it says some churches in the letters to the churches, that some of you, I'm just about ready to take you off the lampstand because I cannot use you to be light to the community. It's all about yourself. So I'm not going to be able to use you. That's hard teaching, but it is Scripture. And we just need to talk to each other in a loving way about it. Now, that's what hinders us. What helps us? Three things, we're done. Well, we're not done. We're going to listen to the message and go make some changes, okay? All right. So, what helps us to stay committed to Jesus? Number one, Deuteronomy 6 is a consuming love for God. I'm going to love him with everything I have. I'm consumed with God. I can't get enough of learning about God. I haven't learned everything about God. And churches and people who come across like they figured the whole thing out, I actually probably like to steer away from them. Because we're all still learning. We're all still wondering. We're all still questioning. But one thing I do know that we can't debate about is that God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son for it. And he's calling us to follow him. We can't debate that. But I must have a consuming love for God. What can I do? My body's falling apart. I used to be able to do a lot for the church, but I'm falling apart. What can I do, Kevin? The only thing I know is to just retire. No, there's a lot of things. I'm finding out phone calls and connections to people that we look around and we find out some people that seem like slipping out the back door. Steve and I talk about this for the past 10 years. How do you close that back door? I believe it's when we get the body consumed with the love of God to the point we notice who's gone and somebody understands the responsibility to call or to go visit. And then communicate with the church spiritual leaders to say, somebody's really struggling here. I don't see them around. It's not about, hey, we must be here every moment. No, not. We're accepting today, but we want to check on each other. Number two, a passion to live a godly life. That's what David had. He said, create in me a pure heart. Renew the steadfast spirit within me. I want to live a godly life, and it's my passion. That'll help me stay committed to Jesus. And as Dylan was teaching this morning, this really helps us in the time when the storms start coming. I'm going to live through the storm. If the storm takes me, that's all right. I have a passion to live for God. Then the last one. A Christ-focused life. I'm just going to read this few verses because Jesus was talking at the beginning to a very large number of people. The people really loved Jesus? Was it because he told them, I'm going to die for your sins and you get to be committed to me and you get to sacrifice yourself, you can deny sin and you can live with holiness? Was that the message that they were excited about? You know what they were excited about? He fed them. That's what they were excited about. He fed them. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus shows his passion in feeding people. I believe if we learn that part, hopefully some people can catch on. If we feed people, they might come. I'm finding out it probably should be done on Sunday. If we advertise a free meal every Sunday, I have a feeling we might pack the house. Well, that's wrong, Kevin. That's the wrong motive. Well, Jesus taught people with the wrong motive. He just got them in his presence, and then he teaches them. And then they sort themselves out. Okay? In verse 66 of John 6, let's see what happens here. Jesus goes on. Well, I'm going to back up to verse 60. On hearing it, and that's while he was teaching in the synagogue, they heard a message. Many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. And then he goes on talking about their commitment. Now, look at verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back, no longer followed him. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. A Christ-focused life means no matter how hard Jesus' teachings are, I have nowhere else to go because his words, we actually believe, hold eternal life. Now, hopefully we can spread this to the many people, but I'm going to leave this for us to chew on. This surpassing worth of knowing Jesus is really important because he's the one that gives us life. So, Rick, if you'd like to come on and sing, Purcell and I here, if you just want to pray, maybe even sometime what we ought to do is just huddle up and pray right where we're at, you know. But we're going to at least sing together, and then we'll decide. If you have any special requests, just bring it forward this morning, okay? You can stand.